Romans 8:28. The title of this morning's message is God's Greater Purpose, and we're looking at God's greater purpose in the death of Charlie Kirk. Now, we did have a message based on him last week, and as I had already come up with the message anyway, the outline of the faithful man, we chose him as our illustration, but we're having another message using him as an illustration because it's so packed full, particularly as we look at four verses this morning. It's really amazing that we do can really see God's greater purpose in allowing some saints' deaths, and particularly of recent Charlie Kirk's death, a Christian evangelist among the youth. And in Romans 8:28, why don't we recite this all together, and then we'll pray. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time in your word. And we pray, Father, that as we look at these passages this morning, that you will help us, Lord, to learn more and more about your purpose in our individual lives, a purpose in our church life, and that we might work with that plan and be blessed in it as we obey. Lord, so open our eyes now as we read through various passages on your greater purpose. And it's in Jesus' dear name that we do pray. Amen. God's greater purpose. Well, we say this last week, that for several days after Charlie Kirk's death, people wondered, why would God allow this to happen? Because he was doing such a great work. And over a decade had started a gospel witness, setting up chapters on some 1,500 or more campuses, college and high school campuses. And but as we see, and quickly found out on that following Sunday, as churches began to be flooded with people, we began to see God's greater purpose in one man's death. And what I want to be doing this morning is we're going to look at four different passages. I'm going to be reading people's postings on the internet how because of Charlie Kirk's death, because of his life as well, that they've made great decisions to do more for the Lord or to come to the Lord altogether for the first time. And so the first posting I read to you, there's a few. It says, patriots across the country, they are reporting their churches are jam-packed this Sunday morning in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing. So that was the first Sunday. The reports are just coming in. The churches are packed. I've actually seen videos of these. It's just people are early, and there's just no seats to be found. And it's quite an amazing thing. I don't think America's ever seen anything like that, except for possibly after the 9/11 tragedy, and probably on this account more so. Another report says the church was full today. Parking lot was so full, people were parking in the grass. The enemy thought they had won, but you've started a mass awakening. This is what Charlie would have wanted most. He would have wanted a massive revival. And so that is quite amazing. Another one says, my church was packed with young people today. Our pastor gave a beautiful sermon on martyrdom and how the brutal murder of Stephen led to the greatest expansion of Christianity in history. And that's one of the later verses we're going to look at this morning about God's greater purpose in Stephen's death. So we have some other biblical examples here this morning. Another person makes reference to Hebrews 11:4, through his faith, though he died, he still speaketh. And that's referring to Abraham. Though he's dead, his ministry of proclaiming the one true God still continues. Give you one more. You're only just beginning to see the revival. Charlie Kirk was God's instrument. The great awakening is here. And that's just quite amazing. And it seems to be alive and well. It's just amazing what's going on various college campuses. Ohio State, some of the, I think it was from a football team. It didn't say what sport, but several of these Christians on this team, they led a rally on college campus, just not in stands, but just out in the open, and giving. They gave the gospel, and then they performed baptisms, and they had quite a number of people attending that. We've seen, speaking of revival, in the streets of Italy, the youth singing, "I have decided to follow Jesus," in Italy. And they were singing in English. And these are just not even a handful, just a few examples. But these must be going on in thousands of locations. I'm looking at a photo right now someone posted of a baptismal going on in that very shallow waters right there on that Utah campus where Charlie Kirk was assassinated. There was a big there's a pool, a fountain, and it's just deep enough you could get your head in if you laid back. And they're having a baptism in it the Sunday after. God's greater purpose. Let's go back to all the way to Genesis. And we look at probably the first example, Genesis 50, maybe the first example of God's greater purpose in allowing a tragedy. Although there's more that you could pick up on, this one's very clear. So Joseph is speaking to his brothers. He said this a couple of times, but this is the last time he says it. Joseph's 10 brothers. He had one brother by his same mother, but he had these 10 brothers by different mothers of his father. And these 10 brothers sold him into slavery and caused him great misery for 20 years. And Joseph says to them later, and they understood that it all worked for good because they saw him as the viceroy, the governor of Egypt. They thought he was a slave in Egypt, but God made him a governor. He says, "But as for you, the 10 brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." There is no telling how many people have been saved by being born again, giving their lives to Christ, and much more being coming out of drug use and everything. There's testimonies of that, and coming into to serve the Lord. But God meant it unto good. And that's what happened with Charlie Kirk. Hey, everyone, it was a tragedy for a few days from Wednesday to Sunday. And then on Sunday, they found out God's got a greater purpose here. We don't always see the greater purpose, do we? But there is a greater purpose. I will never forget door knocking on a Saturday morning when I was 33 years old in Jamie's hometown of Asheville, the church we came from there. Door knocking on Saturdays like we had done. And older man drove a van, 12-passenger van, and he would drive around and pick people up like when they got to the end of their street. Because if you got 10 people, everybody's doing a street, that's all we're going to do today. And he picked me up. I was the first one in the van, so I set up in the front. And then we go to another street and we stop. We've got a little time on our hands waiting for someone to finish the end of their street door knocking. And he points to an empty lot, and there's a driveway going up into it. And he says, "Do you see that driveway over there? At the end of the driveway, you know what used to be there?" And he said it was a garage, and this older man was in it working on his lawnmower, and the gasoline caught on fire and burned him and the whole garage down. And he said, "Do you know how many people gave their lives to Jesus at his funeral?" I said, "How many?" He said, 12. So out of such a great tragedy of that, 12 people, 12 of a man, grandfather, having such a horrible death, 12 of his relatives came to faith, trusting in God out of a tragedy. So we're seeing this great tragedy that happened with this public execution, as it were, by evil perpetrators, and God has brought such incredible good out from it. Only God could do that. You know, when we drop things and glass breaks, we just lament the cleanup process and the tragedy that we can't put together this 2000 BC Chinese vase. We can't put it back together. But God can put it back together, and it's worth more than it was. And that's just quite amazing. God's greater purpose. And so God allows these things to happen, and the things that he does in it are absolutely amazing, and we see the benefit in it all. And you can be making your way to John chapter 12. We'll go there in a moment, but I'm going to read some more to you. John chapter 12. But someone posts here, sitting here in front of a church I've never even stepped foot in. In front of a church a week ago, I'd never even have considered going to. Some feelings are welling up. So the person's at church early, and they're getting emotional. Anxiety, fear, hope, anger, peace, all feelings are happening now simultaneously because they're not comfortable being in church, but they know they're supposed to be there. The events of this week have changed the world, and I'm not immune from that. So here's a person who's in church and doesn't know how they got there. It's just something compelling them to go. And others are saying that. They have this compulsion to go to church. Evil has been seen, and it cannot be denied. Another person posted that they went to church or decided to go not because of Charlie Kirk and what happened to him, but because of the evil perpetrators, that if the world's this evil, I need to choose sides, which, because everyone knows there's no in between. It's one or the other. So as I sit here 30 minutes early, I reflect on why it can take something like this to promote and require change. Charlie preached for all to come to God. It is so amazing. One of the things that Charlie wanted was he wanted heaven to be crowded. Now, he got that from a parable that Jesus told in the Gospels about God or the king sending his son, or about the God sending the servants out to the highways and hedges to compel them to come in that his house might be full. God does want his house to be full. Doesn't every church want a full house? It's just a wonderful feeling of having everyone present that should be there. But he said he wanted heaven to be crowded. There are so many people that have picked up on this, and they go to these crowded churches, and they don't say it's too crowded. Usually, I mean, you can say that in a lot of places you go, but people aren't saying that in these crowded churches. Standing room only. Sometimes they make the youth come all the way up front and sit on the floor, they in Los Angeles. I just saw this video. Is it Angel Stadium or something like that? I believe it might be. It was basically packed stadium, and they had a gospel rally in that crazy city of Los Angeles. And there's just so many of these you cannot keep up with. And the gospel is being preached. People are stepping forward and proclaiming it, and organizing these events. They happen rather quickly. So we're seeing people now crowding to Christ. Did you know there's a book written? Someone recommended it to me in Bible college. I've never read it. I need to get a copy. It's called Crowded to Christ. So God does allow things in our life to get so crowded, and the crowd kind of just pushes you forward. And that's what happens a lot of times. God crowds you to the point where, well, when people surrounded Christ, once he was so crowded by a seashore that he had to back up into the water where the people wouldn't follow him. And then he asked Peter let's set up the boat for a preaching platform. And Jesus was able to stand in the boat on the water because he was so crowded. Other people were crowding to Christ. But that is what's going on this day right now. It's just absolutely amazing. Someone posted, it was Charlie Kirk's producer. He said, if you want to honor Charlie today, go back to church. Open your Bible. Pray. Ask God to lead you. That's what he wanted. And then he writes, it's been said that the blood of martyrs is the seeds of the church. And that's what we're going to come to that when we look at Stephen in the book of Acts. But out of persecution and martyrdom, we see the church flourish and grow. And that's quite the amazing thing. Now, let's read John chapter 12. We'll begin at verse 23. There's been several videos made on this by Christians, and that Charlie Kirk was assassinated. It took place at 12:23. And so someone looked up John 12:23 and made a video on it. And Jesus begins to speak here. And Jesus answered them saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now, it's a clear reference to his death. In fact, in the upper room, John 17, Jesus prayed, "Now glorify thy Son and give me the glory that I had with you before I came here." And all this glory was about the crucifixion. So it's a strange way for God to glorify his Son. This is one of the strange passages. Well, even here, we're gonna come to verse 24, but first verse 28, Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." And then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." And in the future, God glorified his name again through Christ's crucifixion, through his martyrdom. So 12:23 is the hour of Jesus' execution, public execution, and it was a shameful thing. But verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily," which means truly, truly, "I say unto you, except a corn or kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And that's exactly what happened with Charlie Kirk's death, is that much Christian fruit has come out of that, and it, literally new life of so many people getting saved, innumerable. No, it's just hard to get the figures of how much fruit is brought forth through that one person's death. This is the workings of God. It really is. Look at this fruit that sprang from Charlie's Christian life and his death, of his seed, of his Christian life going into the ground dying. His blood even went into the ground, just like Abel. Read that story, Genesis 4. But here it said, the person says, "I've been atheist pretty much my entire life. Yesterday, I ordered my first Bible." Charlie, it's working. I'm going back to church this Sunday. So there's a Christian coming out of backsliding. Charlie would lay his life down 10 times over for just one person to come to Christ. And look what our God has done with CK, Charlie Kirk. 10 times over, thousands of times over. Another person says, "I've been a lukewarm Christian my entire life. My husband called himself a Christian but never practiced faith. I've never read God's word. Since Charlie's death, we have stayed up reading the Bible together every night, and we are going back to church." These things, just amazing, the seeds of springing forth, sprouting unto new life. Another says, Candace Horn gives her name, "I've been sitting pretty agnostic for about the last 7 years or so. Let me tell you, these last weeks has really sparked something in me." Another person says, "Former atheist here." welcome back. Another, Kylie says, "I haven't been a Christian for 5 years. I shut God out and no longer believed. Over the past 2 days, I feel like something is telling me to go to church. I'm now afraid that I've committed blasphemy. I shut God out. What if he shuts me out now?" So here's a person really concerned, that they left God for 5 years, but they don't understand God's grace never changes. We read about that this morning. Angelica Labrada, imagine this. "I threw away all my witchcraft stuff today and will be attending church for the first time tomorrow in years." So here's a witch that maybe she was going to church and then got out of church and took up witchcraft. So a great reversal. I have chills, Kristen says. Praise the Lord. Welcome home. She's commenting on this witch throwing her witchcraft stuff away. Praise the Lord. Welcome home. I'll be praying for you and this new journey. Tara Roberts says, I walked into a church for the first time in over a decade yesterday. The same girl commented as before. Now she says, praying he meets you right where you are. So someone was encouraging people. Another person, who's this, Han, says, bought a Bible for the first time yesterday. All right, bear with me. Here we go. No name. I ordered a Bible hours after I found out Charlie had died. That's a pretty quick response. Who would have ever guessed all this? I mean, when I found out, you know, I'm just thinking, I'll be going to church like I always do. And I was like thinking his death has done nothing for me. But once I started reading these things, I got really encouraged that people are getting a spark lit in them because of their coldness in the past towards God, and they're refusing God and rebelling against God and ignoring God and all this. And all of a sudden, these people are set on fire, as it were. And that finally, I got a moment of great encouragement reading one of these. I don't remember which one it was. Nikki says, bought my first Bible, love emoji, and then says, going tomorrow. Well, you know where they're going, doesn't say where. People are jumping on the wagon. Others are going to church. Well, I'll go too. And it's not just a trend. It's an awakening. I asked my husband, this is Morgan Page. I asked my husband, who has always been very against going to church casually, if he would go Sunday, and he automatically said yes. We are super excited for tomorrow. And Kristen said, praise God. Kristen kept encouraging these people. This is one thread of comments from one guy who posted someone's postings like I just read, and so hundreds of people decided to add to it. Tomorrow, love emoji. First time in over a decade, meaning they're going to church. I literally, Autumn says, literally, I have chills. There is revival happening. And Kristen said, amen. Hey, now, you're all-star. You're an all-star, says, I just bought my first Bible after not being raised religious my whole life. This really is amazing. Well, God, all through the Bible, brings triumph out of tragedy. We see that in Joseph's life, all the way in Genesis. His brothers sell him as a slave into Egypt, and God turns it in triumph after, I think it was 13 years in prison. It was, and there were 7 years of good, and then Joseph proclaimed the 7 years of famine coming. So 13 and 7 is 20. But so 13 years he was in prison, and then God turned that tragedy to triumph. And you can read more. These stories are all through the Bible. And you can be making your way to Acts 11, where we have a look at Stephen. Acts 11. But I'll read another couple of text. Tony times two says, I am here in Dallas, Texas, right now in the middle of a Jesus prayer march. I believe something significant took place in the spirit this week that shook the grounds of the foundations of the earth. He's about right. They silenced a soldier and awakened an army. Love seeing this. You can see the videos of the armies. I have walked down that parade that leads to Buckingham Palace. You're familiar with it. It's lined with trees. It's a real long road. It's about from here down to the main road. That's about how long it is. And that thing was filled with people carrying the British flag. It's just patriotism just means good government. You want your government to be everything that flag stands for. And others in different countries carrying their flag and reciting Christian hymns and verses. And it is, there's all these marches going on now. And they're in the most amazing places. Mexico, would you believe Pakistan? And they're just all over the place. Madrid, the list goes on. Sydney had one. And so people are making decisions now. Vigils, candlelight vigils, have been held in various cities. And you've seen these photos. But in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, Stephen had been martyred. And it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose concerning Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, doing what? Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." So these were Jewish people. The first church was all Jewish. And there were other deaths. But when Stephen was stoned, God used that martyrdom to cause enough fear in many church people, except for the apostles. They stayed, but these Christians went north. And they went to Syria. There's a road, Damascus. There's a road that leads there in Antioch, further north and a little bit further than Damascus. And that became the new gospel headquarters, the mother church outside of Jerusalem, outside the land of Israel. And so they went there preaching the gospel. And that's what's happening now because of this martyrdom. People are going out on and preaching the gospel in public places, forums, stadiums, college campuses. It's absolutely amazing. And I only just thought of this verse a couple of days ago, and it makes us this much closer to the rapture, where God says, it's in the Gospels, "I will do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness." And this quick work kind of lends to the idea of a quick gospel work. And if you could ever define a quick gospel work, say in the past, Billy Graham's gospel work's kind of slow if you get right down to it. It took months to organize a meeting. And I don't know how many of these stadium events he would have in a year's time, maybe two or three. But you're having hundreds and hundreds of stadiums and streets filled all at one time in 1 week now. This is an incredible quick work, gospel work, and God might cut it short. Could be 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, but this could be the quick work. And I've never paid much attention. We've never really known what this quick work is, but we might be seeing this quick work right now. And it's an amazing work. I mean, it's global. Because of social media, this thing's reached every person. And then nobody could have missed this. It's got a smartphone, this event. Some could have missed. Well, I don't know how they could have missed. Some way or another, they've had to find out the repercussions, the positive things that are happening. Zito Salinas says, "There's an inner city church that is made up of mostly young people in the Hill District of Pittsburgh by Donetsk University. Young people came by the busloads this morning." Riley Gaines, you know, the swimmer. She said, "My Bible-believing church was overflowing today. No place to park, no empty seats, people waiting in the lobby for the next service. I saw so many people hungry for truth, guidance, and salvation. You have to imagine Charlie is smiling down from heaven." Creation 247, he says, "Church today was packed, hundreds standing in the back." Man, that's a big church. Hundreds standing in the back. Cars overflowing out of the lot. Lines down the street just to get in. Now, if you don't think that's believable, lines down the street just to get in. If you don't think that's believable, I just saw the video yesterday where they're lined up, you know, the covered walkway so people don't have to walk along the edge of the church in the rain. They step off the car park and they walk all the way to the entrance under a shelter. The whole line was backed up and it wasn't moving. People just lined up to go to church. I don't know that America's ever seen, even after 9/11, ever seen churches with lines outside, queues waiting to get in. I didn't hear reports of that. Of course, we were just moved here 4 months earlier. We had just moved here after 9/11 happened. 4 months earlier, we moved here. So but I don't think churches have ever been like this before in America. So we have to note this is a distinct work God is doing. Is it that quick work? That's your homework this week. You go find that verse. God will do a quick work in righteousness, a quick work on the earth, and cut it short in righteousness. We might be seeing that quick work right this day. So amazing. Reva Ruby says, I went to church today for the first time in 13 years. Another person says, I went to church today for the first time since I was a kid. I'm 43 and I gave my life to Jesus Christ today. Listen to what Stephen Daniel says, all right? I'm a 62-year-old tough guy. I have shed tears this week for someone I've never met. Charlie is changing the world. Now, that's 62-year-old tough guy. There's so many of these. I've never opened a Bible, never been inside a church until yesterday. My family and I will now start our journey with God. Love from New Zealand. Camp ZZY, that's sleepy. Camp ZZY says, I've been an atheist my whole life. It has never been more clear to me. I either pick a team or this evil woke ideology will take over. See, a lot of people are just joining the right side because they see the evil side's gaining momentum. They're now carrying out public executions. And oh, would you believe, since that shooting a week ago, there's already been a transgender person attempt to carry out executions of various Supreme Court justices in America, and they unfoiled that person's plot and caught him before he could do harm. So people are seeing that they do have to pick a side. That's something we don't, but that's what is causing a lot of people to do this. Maybe I'll finish with this one. I went to church today for the first time in about 10 years. Charlie's impact for good will continue. And so that is God's greater purpose, that God will continue to do good. And so while evil people will continue to do evil, God will continue to do good. And that is God's greater purpose, that he is able to do this. And maybe we'll read together Romans 8:28, if you can get there soon enough, and we'll read it together as we close Romans 8:28. We have most of the verse memorized, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I just read to you one after another of people being called according to God's purpose. Some to buy a Bible, some to go to church, some to get back into church, some to be baptized. People are being moved. Some to preach the gospel where they've not been doing it. So those that are called according to God's purpose. And when he calls us, it's not just calling us to be saved and to deliver us from hell, but he's calling us unto a purpose. And that's such a wonderful thing, is to be given a holy purpose in life. But we'll stand and pray and thank God for his greater purpose. Father in heaven, we thank you that you always have a plan. and we miserable mortals here below often muddy the waters of your plans. But that doesn't bother you a bit. Your plan B, C, D, all the way through the alphabet. Your plan Z is better than our plan A every time. And we thank you for working your greater plan and purposes in our individual lives and collective lives as a church. We celebrate with churches in America and other places where attendance is seen coming in with eager, sincere people to want to know the truth, embrace the truth, and stand on the side of the truth, even the way, the truth, and the life whom Jesus said he was. And we just pray, Lord, you'll bless these many souls coming to Christ, that they'll be able to be discipled, that churches won't just baptize them and let them go, but get them into discipleship classes where they can learn the first steps in following Christ. And we just pray, Lord, you'll continue this incredible work that you're doing around the earth. Let it not end quickly, but continue it, Lord, that even my twin brother could get saved. And his first name is Kirk. And we pray you'd save my twin brother Kirk, that he could not get away from the fact that he needs to live up to his name, which in Germanic and throughout Europe, the word Kirk means church, well known. Help him to live up to his name and help Charlie Kirk's legacy continue to bear fruit under Christ. And it's in his dear name we do pray. Amen.